The topic this morning is being childlike. So this morning, before I go straight in, I'll request Levya to read the passage for us.
Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 16. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them.
Thank you, Levya. Thank you so much for that. Shall we just pray before we go into the talk? Father, we thank you for the gift of childhood, and we thank you for the gift of children. And even as we look to your invitation this morning to be childlike, would you open our hearts, which are set in their ways, which are proud and confident, and which struggle to change, resist to change. Holy Spirit, would you come and open up our hearts this morning to listen to your word. We surrender to what you have to speak to us, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Before we begin, I just want to share that this passage is a truly special one for me. I'll tell you why. Just after Avi turned one, we bought him this Bible. It's called the Jesus Storybook Bible. And it's by Sally Lloyd-Jones. And at about that time, when he turned one, our kids were using this as their curriculum. And I found it really interesting. So I thought we'll get this. And off late, Avi has been able to pay attention to a whole story at one time, right? And we've been reading stories from this. And his favorite story now is based on this passage. So for the last couple of weeks, I've been reading the story again and again. So this passage is sweet to me now. It's on my heart, and I'm so glad we get to look at it together this morning. With that being said, the theme of the passage is pretty apparent. If you look at it, Jesus is calling us to be childlike. If you look at verses 14 and 15, it'll come for us on the screen. He says, "Truly, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belong the kingdom of God." Belongs to the kingdom of God. And then he says, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." So this morning we're going to be looking at three things. The first thing is, we're looking at childlikeness. The first thing is what it isn't. Yeah, it's important to know what it isn't. Because in the name of childlikeness, you and I can do a lot of things. Then we look at what it is and why it is important. The third thing, how do we become more childlike? Yeah, those are three things that we're going to be looking at. Let's look at the first thing, what it isn't. I'll be looking at three things. The first thing is, childlikeness is not sinless purity. Right? We tend to look at our children as pure and innocent souls, which they are. They are innocent. But we shouldn't mistake their innocence to be sinlessness. The Bible tells us, right from the time our mothers conceive us, this is what David says, "Surely I was sinful at birth." Sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Speak to a parent. If they have to be honest about themselves, about their kids, they'll tell you right from a very young age, our children are sinful rebels. That is why Jesus had to be born of a virgin. You see, he had to be sinless at birth. So this morning, if you're looking at Jesus saying, "Let the children come to me," and thinking, "Oh, let these pure, cute, little innocent souls come to me," well, we might be mistaken, because he's saying, "Let these messy, helpless rebels come to me." childlikeness is coming to Jesus messy and undone. It's not coming to Jesus sorted and put together. The second thing childlikeness is it's not childishness. What do I mean? This is what Paul says. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And he encourages these people who is talking to, writing to become mature. What do these childish things look like as adults? We can see right here. You know what's happening just before this passage? Just before this passage, the disciples come to know, come to the understanding that Jesus is Lord, right? And then they are like, for the first time, Peter says, "You are Lord." And then right immediately after that, we see what is happening among themselves. Now they realize they're in the presence of greatness. This is like the king. And they're arguing among themselves. Now we are the close-knit people. We are the closest to him. Who among us is the greatest? I'm better than you. And Jesus sees them arguing and he's indignant to such arguing. And then not very soon after he comes and he says this, he brings a child amongst themselves and he says, "Be like this child." Not like they got it. Because right after this, not too far from here, we see James and John, two of Jesus' disciples, trying to, in the recent political elections, people tried to get the best cabinet positions. That is what they did. They take Jesus aside. They're like, "I know you're the king, but that right and left place, can you give it to us?" And later the other disciples get to know and they're like, "Come on, grow up." Bible says they were indignant to them. They were absolutely immature and childish. You see how we as adults can be childish out there? That is what we are trying for. We're no different from these disciples. So Jesus is responding to their childishness and saying, "Be childlike instead." The third thing childlikeness is not, is it's not spiritual infancy. We can also interpret childlikeness and wrongly by thinking, "I don't need to grow spiritually anymore. I know Jesus is Lord. I know the basics, that's enough. Why should I even grow in daily persevering in God's word, patiently mining for the rich treasures that change and transform our lives? Why do I need to do this? Kids surely don't do this. Children don't do this." The Bible is filled with exhortations for followers of Jesus to mature in their faith. In basic terms, grow up. This is what the writer of the book of Hebrews, he says, "For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he's a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by the constant practice to distinguish between good and evil." And just before telling them this, he's saying, by now you should have been eating solid food, guys. Come on. So childlikeness is not spiritual infancy. We must desire to grow and mine the rich treasures of God's word. So what is childlikeness then? You know, this passage itself doesn't really define childlikeness for us. So what do? We look at the one who is calling us to be childlike. We look at Jesus. And this is how Jesus displays childlikeness to us. If you look at this, this is what Jesus says. Can we go to the next slide? The next slide? Yeah. This is what Jesus says. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees his father doing. And later on in the same chapter, he says, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear the judge, as I hear I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the one who sent me, who is his father. You see, right all throughout Jesus' life on earth, we see that Jesus was tethered to his heavenly father. We see right from his childhood, when you remember that incident when Jesus was a child, his parents lose him in the mob and they go search for him. They find him in God's, in the temple. And this is what Jesus says. Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? That's Jesus as a child. Up until the last moment of his ascension, he says, go and tell my brothers and go tell them that I am ascending to my father and your father, to my God and to your God. From his childhood, since birth to his ascension, Jesus was tethered. He literally lived the words, I can do nothing apart from depending on my father. So based on Jesus' life, we can define childlikeness like this. It's complete trust and absolute dependence on the Father. Complete trust and absolute dependence. You know, as children, we asked for help all day long. We knew what it was to be weak. We knew what it was to be needy and dependent. We all went through the phase where in the home there was a constant, Mama, 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 right? If you don't have kids, ask your parents. You did that. It's a constant dada, dada. You know, it's amazing because whatever we did, we wanted our parents to see. We wanted them to acknowledge. We wanted them to appreciate. And we all went through a phase in life when even for a moment, if our parent disappeared out of our sight, we would bring the roof down. You know, my mom tells me as a kid, if my dad had to go out somewhere, he had to literally throw out his bag from the compound wall first and then secretly sneak out because I would bring the roof down. We were all extremely and completely dependent on our parents as children. But as we grew up and experienced the world and the finiteness of our own parents, we stopped being dependent children. We've seen them in their sinfulness. Somewhere deep down along that journey, we lost the sense of trust and dependency that we enjoyed as children. And as adults living in this culture of self-sufficiency and independence, can you imagine living like this? Living like Jesus saying, I can do nothing. What? I do so many things. Can you imagine living in a culture like this? Every day, every waking moment, our goal is to work and labor to come to a place of absolute self-sufficiency where we don't need one single thing from anything outside of us. Isn't that our goal? Childlike trust and dependence seems alien in our independent and self-sufficient culture. If your parents, you're probably raising up your kids to be like that. They're probably seeing us and learning. You see, we see right after this passage, you know what's happening? Mark tells us a story of this rich young man who comes to Jesus, and he's a sorted guy. He comes and he asks, Jesus, what else can I do to get into the kingdom of heaven? So Jesus says, this is what the law says. And he said, from my childhood, I've done this, Jesus. What else? And Jesus says, you lack one thing. Give away all of your riches and then come and follow me. And the passage says, he went away disheartened because he had a lot of riches. You know, he didn't really feel the need to depend on anything outside of him. He probably wanted Jesus to say, you are enough, Macha. You are enough. Walk in. In fact, you are the king of this kingdom. Come. You are the perfect one I've been waiting for. He probably wanted Jesus to say that. Don't we want Jesus to say this when he looks at us? You are good enough. I think you're doing well. This is why it is so important for you and I to look at how Jesus enjoyed childlikeness. You know, Jesus never asks us to be something that he himself is not. And then this morning, can we just spend some time understanding the gravity of him saying, I can do nothing on my own. Shall we do that? Jesus, as you and I know, was not a frail and ordinary man and finite man like you and me. When he was on earth, he was fully man, but he was also fully God. So that means he was still omnipotent, which is all powerful, and he was still omniscient, which is all knowing. So it is this Jesus who is all powerful and all knowing. He's the one who's saying, I can do nothing apart from depending on my Father. You know what this tells us? Come for us on the screen. If we knew everything there was to know and had the power to do anything in this world, we wouldn't do a single thing without depending on our Heavenly Father. Let that sink in. Don't we think it's the opposite? If I only knew more, if I only had more resources, I don't need to depend on anyone else. Jesus is telling us a different story. When we grow in the real knowledge of who controls everything, and when we grow in the real knowledge of where we get the resources and strength to do anything, you and I will not do a single thing without depending on our Heavenly Father. You see, friends, this is crucial for us. You know, while watching horror movies, you know what's happening, right? A kid hears a squeaky noise. You know what that squeaky noise is. This dumb kid, without calling his parents or going in, he tries to go closer. You and I are screaming out, no, no, no. Just stay put or call your dad. But no. Why is the kid going? He doesn't know. He doesn't know his weakness. See, real knowledge and real strength will throw us into the arms of our Father and say, I can do nothing. What does this practically look like? At work, in a work day, if you and I knew everything that was going to happen, good and bad, and the million ways it could affect us, you and I wouldn't do a single thing without depending on our Heavenly Father. At home, if you and I knew everything that our family would go through in that day, be it good thing or a bad thing, and the million ways in which this could affect us, our spouses, our kids, we wouldn't do a single thing without depending on our Heavenly Father. This is true in case of any decision, be it a marriage decision, be it an investment decision. If you and I knew the repercussions of how this is going to play out, you and I will not do a single thing without depending on our Heavenly Father. Jesus, omnipotent, omniscient, says, I can do nothing. He didn't say, I can do a few things. Few things I manage, the rest I sort of ask my Father. No. Friends, which is the area in our lives today where we are yet to see that we can do nothing apart from depending on our Father? To be honest, every area. But this morning, can we zero in on that one area that is giving us the illusion of independence, self-sufficiency? I've got this covered. This one area in my life, dude, I'm on top of things. This is probably the area where we struggle to see all that we have as a blessing that we received. And we look at it and say, this is my hard-earned blood, sweat, and tears. Try taking this away from me. Probably this is the area, if Jesus asks us to lay down, you and I will walk away disheartened like the young ruler. In this area, Jesus is not king. We are. It is not Jesus' kingdom. It is our kingdom. Friends, do you see the seriousness of this? Look at what Jesus is saying. Childlikeness is important, not because it's a nice thing to be. No, look at what Jesus is saying in verse 15. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Whoa. Jesus is not just warning naughty children as parents do. If you don't sit quietly, you won't get TV time, and later on just cave in and you know, just put the TV on to make them quiet. No, this is serious warning. He's telling this to his disciples. If you do not receive a kingdom of God, the kingdom of God like a child, you shall not enter it. I don't know about you, but do you wake up in the morning on days and think, today I'm going to be more childlike? I'll figure out what this childlikeness thing is in my day today. No, it's not even in our radar. So how do we become more childlike? Where do we start? You know, I'd like to begin by painting a picture of where we are heading to. Yeah? As to what we are aiming for. So that there's a trajectory. We know what we are aiming for, so we will grow in our desire to walk towards there. Here's the thing. Jesus, as we said in verse 15, is clearly saying you cannot enter unless you become like a child. And he backs this with a powerful reason. Look at verse 14. Look at what he's saying. Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belong the kingdom of God. What does he mean? Being childlike is a prerequisite to enter the kingdom, because being childlike is the way of the kingdom. You see, if you and I get there, if you and I, without being childlike and not trusting in Jesus, we get into this kingdom of heaven, you and I will be lost. Our self-sufficient, independent souls will be lost over there. You see, the kingdom of heaven is not for people who arrived in life, who made it in life, and don't need to depend on God anymore. It is not for those perfect souls. The kingdom of heaven, in fact, as we realize, when we get there, we will see, in fact, in reality, that we can do nothing apart from depending on the Father. The kingdom of heaven is a place where we will be absolutely, perfectly, totally dependent on the Father for the rest of eternity. You see, one of the results of that one day when sin is going to be completely removed from our lives, one of the results, if you can go to the next slide, one of the results is complete and absolute dependence on God the Father. That's the trajectory. You see, Jesus, during his time on earth, he didn't come and sort of model this childlikeness for those 33 years just to show you and me how to get to heaven. No. Jesus was childlike eternity past, on his time on earth, and eternity forever. So in fact, to become Christ-like is to become more and more childlike. And on that day when we see him absolutely sinless, that day you and I will actually know that you and I can do nothing apart from depending on the Father. So that's the trajectory. That's the goal. That's where we're heading. Right? So with that in our minds, in the here and now, how do we find the strength? How do we find the strength to become more childlike? Look at verse 15. It says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive. You know, Jesus knows. Jesus knows our weakness. Jesus knows our inability. He knows our self-sufficient, pride, proud hearts really well. So that is why the cross became the place where we humbly receive the kingdom of God as a weak and helpless child. That is why our King came as a suffering servant to enter our hearts. That this is the only way the kingdom can enter into our lives. Nothing screams out our helplessness and our weakness more than the cross of Christ. You know, the cross is the result of every single good thing and every single bad thing that you and I have done without depending on our Father. The cross is where we receive the full merit of absolute and complete childlike dependence of Jesus, that Jesus modeled for eternity and on his time on earth. We receive that. Out of the many blessings and benefits of the cross, you know what is one of the beautiful gifts that we receive? We receive the very relationship that Jesus had with the Father that has been imputed to us. The cross tells us we can only receive the kingdom of God as helpless children and never earn it as sinful, self-sufficient adults. That's the message of the cross. You want to be more childlike? Look at the cross, which screams out your helplessness and mine and says, receive the kingdom of God. Now, I'd like to close the sermon by the last few words that Sally Lloyd-Jones says in ending the story on this passage. This is what she says. You see, children loved Jesus and they knew that they didn't need to do anything special for Jesus to love them. All they needed to do was run into his arms, and so that's just what they did. Well, after all the laughing and games, Jesus turned to his disciples and said, no matter how big you grow, never grow up so much that you lose your child's heart full of trust in God. Be like these children. They are the most important in my kingdom. Friends, one of the beautiful indicators of whether we're being childlike today or no is, are we feeling the embrace of the Father this morning? Is our soul tired and dejected and broken and guilt-ridden that you're looking at yourself and saying, oh, this can't be embraced? Or on the other side, is your soul so self-sufficient, so proudful, so prideful that you're sitting here thinking, oh, I don't need another thing. I'm kind of sorted in life. This will prove to all my haters, if that's your heart posture today, then, oh, you don't know what the embrace of the Father is like. This morning, are we feeling the embrace of the Father in every good thing that we do? And in every bad thing when we fail? Shall we pray? Father, we worship you, Lord. We worship you because you invite us to come childlike. I mean, if you truly told us, sort yourselves out, become completely self-sufficient on your own and come, our self-sufficiency is like utter mess and chaos in your sight, in your perfect standard. We could never, ever enter your kingdom. But thank you, because the invitation comes from the cross. The invitation comes to lay our lives down as messy, helpless kids, fully dependent on the Father who invites us and embraces us like his child. May this translate into every work of ours, Lord. Every work at office, every work at home. May we not do a single thing that flows from a place of not feeling your embrace, not feeling your cherishing heart, your smiling heart. May all of our doing, all of our resting flow from a place of feeling your embrace. Thank you, Jesus, for making this possible. In your name we pray. Amen.